tonight we're going to go on a little bit of a journey, so I'm going to talk a little bit about reflecting on the year that's been. Emma's then going to come up and talk about where we are now, and then Naomi will lead us in looking at where we're going. So it's January still, isn't it? And January is often an opportunity for us to reflect and make resolutions. If I look back to January 2015, it was the year I was going to be turning 25, and I looked at the year and I thought, this year I'd like to move out from home and I'd like to learn how to cook. So a year later, I still live at home. And on Friday, I didn't like what my parents made for tea, so I had two bags of crisps and a cream egg for my tea. So they're back on the list for this year. But it's okay, it's okay. But in all seriousness, we do, don't we? We'll look back in January and we'll judge the year that we've had. I know if you're on Facebook, you see people post statuses like, they either post a status that says, 2015, best year ever, got engaged, had a promotion, had my love, my life. Or you see people who post statuses that say, I'm just glad to see the back of 2015, that was not a good year. And recently I've been reading about the life of Jacob. If you want to read up about it later, it's in Genesis. It starts in chapter 25 and it's the next few chapters from there. But just to summarise for you, Jacob, he's got a pretty turbulent story. He's the second born and he took his brother's birthright and he ends up dressing up as his brother Esau to deceive his aging father who couldn't see and take his blessing, the blessing that was due to Esau. Jacob ends up fleeing because of this and has a bit of time in the wilderness. But he later meets Rachel, who he falls in love with. And after a little bit of difficulty working for a few years and being given the wrong woman to marry, he does end up getting Rachel. But then after a while again, he sees that his father-in-law is deceiving him and being dishonest about the herds that they have. And so Jacob decides he needs to leave. His story doesn't finish there, it goes on. But for now, as I was reading through Jacob's life this month and reflecting on what's been, I wondered if Jacob had times of looking back and reflecting. I wonder if there was a January in Jacob's life where he just fled home after taking the blessing owed to Esau and Esau was really angry at him. I wonder if he's in the wilderness and he looked back and he just thought, what have I done? And I wonder if we relate to that. Maybe we look back and we'll just think, I've made some really bad choices, or I've made some mistakes. Or maybe we'll just think, I was so focused on myself and success. And then we'll look back and we'll just think that we're all alone. Maybe we're in a bit of wilderness and we're all alone. And then maybe there was a January in Jacob's life, after all the trouble with having to marry Leah face and work and all the years of work. Maybe he got Rachel. And work was going well and he was really happily married. Maybe we can relate to that. Maybe we'll look back and we'll just think, this year's been really good. Work's paying off. I'm feeling really positive about what's been and the things that have happened in the last year. And then maybe there was another January in Jacob's life. Maybe he'd been working really hard. But whilst he was trying to herd his sheep, he noticed that his father-in-law was trying to accuse and deceive him. And maybe we can relate to that. Maybe that we look back on this year and we just feel like people and life have been against us. Maybe we've tried really hard to persevere, but we're left feeling ready to flee again. Maybe we can relate to these stories, or maybe January brings back different feelings as we look back on the year that's been. However we feel about the year that's passed, it is done and it's over. We're not bound by what's been. We see this in the life of Jacob. He goes on and he wrestles with God, and in that wrestle, God gives him a new name. He's told he's no longer Jacob, which means to deceive, but instead he's Israel. May God prevail. Jacob isn't defined by what he's done or by what's been done to him, but it is a part of his story. That it's there in Genesis for us all to see. We don't meet Jacob when he becomes Israel. We see his past. And maybe Jacob going through what he went through and reflecting on that led him to that place of wrestling with God, where he was given a new name and a new identity. Recently I watched a film that I absolutely love. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And there's a moment in the film where the main character, She's got this conflict going on inside. She's about to marry this American man, but she has this really traditional Greek family, and she's a bit embarrassed and she's a bit ashamed by them. And in that moment, her brother says these words to her. He says, "Don't let your past define who you are, but let it be a part of who you become." We see this all throughout the Bible, don't we, that God takes people and he sees their past, he sees everything, but he doesn't let that define them. And I think that we're just going to spend some time now, there's going to be a song playing, and we're going to spend some time. I'd encourage you to chat to the people next to you. Think about what last year looked like for you. Think about the challenges you faced, maybe the positives that you had, maybe the questions that it brought up. Talk about it, pray about it, see what lessons were there that God wants you to learn from looking back on the year that's been. After the song finishes, Emma's going to lead us into more reflection.
Peace. Cool. So I hope you found that time really helpful. As we've just been guided by Holly on some thoughts of reflecting on the past, and now we're going to look at the now. Taking up that opportunity and challenge of appreciating the time that I feel like falls in between the excitement of the build-up of Christmas and looking forward to Easter and then on to summer. Already this month, I, like I'm sure many of you have too, have said on multiple occasions how I'm missing the Christmas lights, how I'm so ready for summer, where's the sun? This is a time that also, for many, they settle back into work, fail with those well-meaning New Year's resolutions, and generally it can feel a bit miserable. But what if we looked at it a bit differently and truly made the most of the day of the ordinariness? I've been reading a book recently by Paula Gooder, and it's called The Everyday God, The Spirit of the Ordinary. And I would really recommend it. In her book, she sets out to celebrate the ordinary. It's based around ordinary time, which is the longest season in the Church of England year, where there's nothing exciting that happens. When I think of the word ordinary, it makes me think of something that is boring, mundane, and not really worth celebrating. But as Gooder states, without a proper understanding of the importance of ordinariness, our lives become an impoverished waiting room as we loiter between one big event and another. If we really stop to think about it, if things were special all the time, they would actually just become the new ordinary, and we would need a new way to find something to be special. We as Christians are challenged by the famous words in the Bible in John 10:10, where Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Or as other translations talk about having life in abundance or a better life than we can ever have dreamed of. This isn't about having life in its fullness around Christmas or just during the summer holidays. This is every day. Every day we are blessed with, we have it to bring life and to bring life to others. In my job as a youth worker, it is very easy to look forward to events where we see 500 young people worshipping God at Spring Harvest, or see 50 people respond to Christ for the first time in new wine. In reality, these are great, but it's also about the journey with the young people week in, week out. Noticing a spark of God when a young person says that they understand some of the Bible story. Loving the boy who tells you about how his dad's in prison, or counting it as a small blessing as one of the girls apologises at swearing for you last week. It's about the now. It's about when it's not glamorous, when it's not pretty, and when we feel there are no results. It's in those times we need to look for God. Henry Nouwen writes in his book, In the Name of Jesus, that there is a temptation to want to just achieve great for God, rather than respond to the first love of Jesus. He responds that often we try to be spectacular rather than just being humble, as we're called to. This is challenging. How many times do we look to those big events, special times in the church calendar, or grand gestures as times to do outreach and to bring people to God? Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with these, but it's all about loving people and living in a way that is humble day in, day out, that can be the biggest witness to people. How we are in the ordinary. Recently, I have been drawn to the passage in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3, which in the Message translation says, "Your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it." Again, this raises the challenge that what we do in our day-to-day lives is such a witness to others, and the letter Christ has written onto our lives is for every day. If we truly saw each day as part of God's plan, written in his spirit, I'm sure we would treat it quite differently. Gooder in her book points out that life is shaped not by what we do, but how we do it. This means often we miss the gems in life, not because they're not there, just purely because we don't notice them. There is special deep within each day, however ordinary the day may be. We just need to look for it. One of the main concepts she looks at in her book is turning aside. The ability to stop what we are doing and to turn aside to notice something special. I came across this a lot when I was visiting Uganda. I'd been warned before we arrived about Ugandan time, which basically means people will never be on time. Not because they have bad timekeeping, but because they stop on their journey to chat to people. If they see someone they know, they will stop for a chat, which may lead to a coffee. They have, however, got the concept of stopping and turning aside. I often think how many conversations I have missed as I've rushed down the street, often staring at my phone screen. I've not had the time to notice people or to notice something such as a rainbow in the sky. In Exodus 3, we see this with Moses, who stops on his journey to look at the burning bush. Verse 3 says, "So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. He stopped on his journey with all his sheep and took time out to go and see the burning bush, and as a result had an amazing encounter with God. He stopped, turned aside from his plans, and looked at the bush. This moment of stopping and looking may have meant that he lost one of his sheep. He may have missed an appointment, and probably one less job was ticked off his to-do list. But what he gained was an incredible encounter with God." We are going to take a few minutes now to reflect on this, to think about appreciating the ordinary, the challenge of using each day to worship God and the beauty he created. I want to leave you with one final thought from Gudde, which says, "We need to recognise that God's desire to be worshipped in the beauty of holiness, a beauty that can be easily found in mud as in gold, in the everyday as in the special places we create for it." There's going to be some music playing and there's some candles at the front. Please feel free to come up in the time we have and light a candle as a sign of appreciating the now, as a prayer to make the most of the ordinary. Also feel free to chat to others and pray, or just reflect on stopping and turning aside.
Gosh, thanks, Chris. So we've thought about considering the highs and lows of the year gone by and what we can learn from these experiences. And we've been reminded to make the most of the ordinary now. And I know for me that's something that I couldn't hear enough. I'm the worst at wishing away the week because it's busy and Saturday means I can sleep in or wake up early and make pancakes rather than wake up early and get the metro. Or wishing away like the next 2 months because I've got like some event happening or something or other. And I think before you know it, the weeks go by and I think I've just spent this last month waiting for it to be the end of the month and then that day's gone and what have I seen from it? But we're just going to think now about the year coming. So as much as when you live now and live for the days that we're having, experience them to the fullest of what God's doing, just the idea that actually this year anything could happen and that possibility that God could use you in your life to do absolutely anything. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." So this verse itself reminds me constantly of things that have gone, that I think, why has that happened? I don't understand. And kind of that confusion to remember that God plans things in a way that I never would. But I think it can also be used just to remind us that actually ahead of time, whatever could happen this year is nothing that I could have planned. When I think to where me and Adam are now compared to last year, none of the positive things that have happened in the year past are things that I would have thought would have happened, I would have planned to happen or worked out the way that I would have worked out. The phrase, God works in mysterious ways, obviously isn't a verse from the Bible, but I think most of us, whether positively or negatively, could say that this is the character of God we've experienced. I think we've got a Bible full of God working in mysterious ways and anything could happen. So we've got shepherds becoming kings and people raised from the dead. As much as people might debate whether the Bible is true, whether it's confusing, whether it's questionable, debating, brilliant, amazing, whatever words you could use, I don't think many people would say it's predictable in what happens in the lives of those we read about. A few years ago, in a devotional, there was a story of a guy which I'm going to tell you, but I straight off can't actually remember any of the details other than like the main line of it. And I've tried really hard to Google it, but I obviously just missed that correct sentence, which you'll see after I read it, that Googling wasn't that easy. So it's basically, I've got a feeling it's someone famous, so a lot of you might be like, you're telling that wrong, and I know what this is, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Is this a guy who's sailing in one of those big boats that goes by sails? Like ages ago and stuff. And there was no wind, and the boat's stuck, and they're there for days, and it's like a bit of a panic, because what do we do? There's no wind, we can't move. And one of the men is praying, and he comes back up and just says, "We need to put the sails up." And everyone else is like, "But there's no wind. We can't put the sails up, there's no wind. Which direction are we going to go?" And then the guy's reply is just, "We need to have the sails up, and then God's going to bring the wind. We need to be ready for when the wind comes." And I think reminds me today that if God sends the wind, am I ready for it? Are my sails up? Or have I got such plans set down and such kind of, well, this is going to happen, and I'm going to do this, and I've got these meetings, and I've got this plan, that if God sent the wind, I wouldn't be ready for it. I would miss it because my sails weren't up and I wasn't looking. I wasn't expecting anything to change, anything to be good, anything different from what is normal or what I've planned. So we're just going to spend some time, again, individually, or if you want to pray together, thinking of the things in your life that you have put in place that means you're not ready for God to do anything unexpected. Are the plans that you've made for the next year, for the next 10 years, that means God can't change anything, can't act, can't change your direction. So again, just a song's going to come up and then have a time to think about that. Thank you. Like we always do on these Sunday nights, we're just going to have a time now for anyone to come up and share anything. So if anyone felt like they that God spoke to them this evening and want to share anything about that, or just in general, if God has just done anything in your life that you feel like you want to share and encourage other people with, or just whatever it might be, come on up. The band's going to come up and be ready to go when John sees fit. Other than that, the floor is open.
yesterday I was invited to do some training with the Spring Harvest team, and we were reminded, John spoke to us at the beginning, reminded us that as Christians we're all actually chosen. We're all chosen by God, and we're all that special. And we're chosen, but God wants us to partner with him, and he doesn't let us stand still. And so I was reflecting on this and thinking, well, this is, you know, this is a year, this is the beginning of the year, and it's about reflecting on that and looking at what God wants me to do, but also just throwing that challenge out, looking at what God wants us all to do, remembering that we are chosen by him.
Okay, so I was just thinking, when Naomi was saying about getting your sails up, ready, trimmed, for God to feel the wind and take you on the direction he wants you to go, and I was thinking, what's that mean then for me? You know, how do I put my sails up every day for God to fill? And I could really feel God saying, well, you know those mornings when you make sure you get up in time to spend time reading my word and praying before you go out into the world? Those are the days when you've got your sails up. And those days when you don't make the time for that because you let other things that you think are important get in the way of that, that's when you haven't got your sails ready. So I just feel I want to say to you, it's important to spend time before you go out into the world, as I'm sure you do, but to make sure that you don't limit that time for God, because that's how he gets our sails ready.